Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. A good part of your week this week may be spent planning or working on your Thanksgiving dinner. For many, tradition is the same or at least close to the same meal on the table every year. But for others, a new recipe or even a different way to make a favorite dish to bring some variety to Thanksgiving dinner is the way to go. We may have a few ideas for you today, or you for us. Tell us about your Thanksgiving dinner or your Thanksgiving traditions. Joining us today is Now That's a Mouthful podcast co-host, Chef Donna Desfour and Sherry Krause. Ladies, welcome to the program and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy well, good morning.
Thanksgiving to you too, Scott.
And this is a show that we look forward to the audience participating in. We really like to hear how your Thanksgiving is going, your plans for dinner. Maybe you have an idea. Maybe you have a recipe, something you do every year. Maybe something you're trying new this year. It doesn't even have to do with the dinner. Maybe some Thanksgiving memories. Give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can also leave a question or comment on WITF's Facebook page on Twitter. We are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. So I ask this question all the time. You ready for, Donna, you ready for Thanksgiving?
Yes, I am.
You are. Sherry?
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. Okay. So when are you going to get ready, Sherry?
Tonight.
Tonight, okay. You like that last minute thing, huh?
Not really.
Not really.
That's really not my style, but I am on it. I do have people shopping for me right now, thankfully, to my husband, my daughter on her way home from college, so we'll get it going.
Okay, so how many people?
We're just going to have probably 6 people, small.
Okay.
Small.
Donna?
There'll probably be 200 or 300.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no. So a few years ago, and I remember we were talking about this, right? There's one word that doesn't belong, well, 2 words that don't belong in my vocabulary. One is minivan, and our good friend Karen, she got like the Cadillac of minivans, and I was like, okay, we can wrap minivan back into my vocabulary if that's the standard. Buffet. Remember? Uh-huh. A couple years ago, my in-laws, they wanted to go to this great big buffet Thanksgiving dinner, and I was like, okay, you know, if that's what they want, we'll go. It was fantastic.
Okay.
I mean, it really was extraordinary. So this year, again, we'll be shuffling up to the buffet.
Uh-huh. That sounds good.
It actually is quite good. You know, we're going to, I guess it's their club within the community that they live in. And, you know, they really do it right. They really do it well. The food is fantastic. It's everything you could imagine and want to eat. Everything from turkey to raw, you know, shellfish, fish, sushi, you know, to salads and pastas. I mean, it's...
All right. Fish sushi doesn't sound very Thanksgiving-y to me.
You know, but so isn't that what Thanksgiving's really getting to be about? Like satisfying everybody at your table?
Well, that's a good segue, because that's one of the things
segue.
That we're going to be talking about today is satisfying. I say that doesn't sound good because I am a traditionalist, but I, you know, one of the things I've learned over the years with this program, when we have a show where we're focusing on holiday dinners, not everyone has the same background, not everyone has the same traditions, that maybe different ethnic backgrounds, different, we grew up differently. And that's one of the things we do like to hear about. And 1-800-729-7532, that one of the things we're going to talk about today is trying to satisfy everyone.
Exactly.
That is difficult sometimes.
Right. You don't want to be caught off guard as the host or hostess that you're wondering what people, because you don't know, they have medical issues possibly that would make for you to do something a little bit different. So if it's a personal choice, a medical choice, you'll just want to make sure all your guests are happy and healthy at the end of the day and at the end of the meal.
Right. And, you know, with all these changing dietary platforms, again, whether they're by choice or, you know, whether they're by need, it's really important to make sure that everyone at your table is safe, is healthy, and, you know, tomorrow or the day after Thanksgiving, you know, they're in line with everybody else on Black Friday getting ready to, you know.
to shop till they drop.
I was going to say, well, you have,
happy, healthy
you have
dummy.
Everything all planned out here. You know, I was thinking about it, about those traditions and things that we like to keep the same. We've been talking in our family for years about some Thanksgiving going to Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York.
I know somebody that's doing that this year.
Oh, really?
How exciting, right?
Yeah.
I think it would be such an extraordinary thing. Like, you know, check that off your list.
Yeah. Have checked it off my list. It won't be back on my list. When we lived in Connecticut, we did
it
in a snowstorm one day. It was just check it off your list and just say, it's much more comfortable sitting in your living room smelling your turkey baking
and
roasting
that.
Than being in a crowd 20 back watching big balloons fly all over the place.
So
it is
fun.
Really neat. It does get you into the holiday spirit. Yeah. I'm not saying it doesn't, but you know what? Been there, done that, check that off, move ahead.
Okay, so
and it's going to be cold.
Freezing
this
cold,
Thursday,
high winds.
It's going to be cold, right.
And the winds, they're worried about all of those beautiful balloons. So not the place to be, unless you have a really dear friend on the route that has a fabulous, you know, apartment that you can just watch
like
from
with
the window.
Yeah. Okay, so all those people out there with those fabulous views on the route, let us know. We'll be there next year.
Yeah. We used to, my high school used to play a traditional Thanksgiving morning football game. And that was something that we always did. We'd go to the football game and then come home and, you know, get ready for dinner and all that. But they don't do that anymore in high school. So, things are different.
And we used to go to the beach every year. So that was our big tradition at Thanksgiving. We'd go down to the beach and, you know, we'd cook this big Thanksgiving meal in this very tiny beach kitchen. But it was so lovely, you know, and anybody from the family was invited. And, you know, it was very random every year who would show up. But it was all, and the weather was always extraordinary down there. So it just was wonderful.
All right, before we get into satisfying everyone, I had an email already from Thomas.
Hi, Thomas.
In Lancaster County, who said two words with turkey, sous vide.
Right up her alley.
Go ahead. Tell everybody what he's talking about.
All right, Chef Donna.
Okay, so sous vide, French for under vacuum. Sous meaning under, vide meaning vacuum. Basically, what you do is you take your food, your meat, whatever, you put it into a plastic bag or vacuum seal it, and then you put it into a water bath. That water bath is being circulated by a piece of equipment called an immersion circulator. And what it does is it keeps the water at the precise temperature that you want to finish your food at. So, say you want to take your turkey, say you're going to do turkey breast or a turkey leg. You select the temperature that's going to make it, you know, perfectly cooked. You cook it for maybe two and a half, 3 hours. But what happens while it's under vacuum is all of the juices that are in that meat, they stay pretty much within the meat because there's nowhere for it to go. It's vacuum sealed, right? So your turkey breast stays incredibly moist and tender. Your turkey legs already tender with the dark meat, but they really just stay like literally falling off the bone. So it's quite... It's easy to do. You do need specific equipment to achieve this sous vide cooking method. It's not terribly expensive anymore. So it's basically just cooking your food. What did you call it? A jacuzzi?
A jacuzzi for your poultry. Yeah.
So, but the other piece about this is, you know,
without the towel wrapped
around. That's right. Right. No visual there. And no judgment.
You really don't need a lot of seasonings or flavors to start while you're cooking it, because the food is, you know, it's just cooking in its own natural juices. The fats get to melt back into the meat. The collagens get to melt back into the meat. So when it comes out, you can finish it any way you want. You can finish it under the broiler. You can throw it on the grill for a really quick and fast sear. You can use gravy or glazes or, you know, really anything, however you want to finish it. So you have this just succulent, beautiful meat.
Why don't more people do that? Because let's face it, we've talked about this many times. When it comes to turkey, one of the big challenges is trying to keep it moist, keep it from drying out.
Well, so, you know, again, it's not a new cooking technique. It's been around for centuries.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's you have to go out. You have to make an investment in this immersion circulator. You need, a jacuzzi water bath. That's $10 or $15. But the immersion circulators, you can get them on sale usually somewhere around $50, and they can be as expensive as $400, $500, $800. So, you know, and once you get it, then there's this huge leap of faith that you can just stick this immersion circulator into the water, set it at, you know, 135, 140, and then leave it for a couple hours. and trust that your meat's going to, number one, come out safe. Number two, come out pasteurized. Number three, you know, it's not going to stop cooking. The first time I did it, I stood there. I swear, I stood there for hours just watching that water circulate around and that meat cook. And, you know, so, you know, it.
You're easily entertained.
That day, yes. But yeah, I mean, if you have it, if you, you know, if you want to dabble in it, this is, you know, go out today. Like, it's a great way to do it. You can't put an entire turkey into, I mean, I guess you could. You would need a really big vacuum pack to do it. But, you know, if you cook your turkey ahead of time, even if you roast it, you can put it into a, you know, a baggie or a vacuum seal bag and reheat it this way. You reheat it back up to temperature so it never exceeds the temperature that you want to serve it at. So again, it stays moist. It doesn't dry out. So there's a lot of utility to sous vide cooking.
All right. Well, that brings up a point that we always have to discuss before Thanksgiving with turkey. Say you don't go sous vide, but you are... What ways can you use to make sure that that turkey is moist and is not dried out?
Don't wait for that little button to pop up.
Don't buy a turkey with the little button that pops up.
Okay.
So by the time that little button pops up, your turkey, your breast meat is
dry.
it's really dried out. Now, there are reasons that you would cook it that far. You know, I mean, for health reasons, or, you know, if you have immune deficiencies, or you're, you know, a baby. I don't think babies eat turkey, right?
Just pureed in a little jar. Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there are reasons that you would want to cook it, you know, to that temperature. But beyond that, start your turkey breast down in your roasting pan. Give it a high blast of heat. You know, really let all the internal juices, all that fat around the bottom of the turkey and the legs, like, cook off and drip down into that cavity. So again, similar to sous vide, what it's doing is it's actually seeping in to the breast meat. So, you know, once the bottom is nicely browned, and I do mean nicely browned, not burnt, not charred, but nicely brown, then pull it out, flip it over. You know, I would even baste it a little bit with maybe some butter, or put some butter underneath the skin. You know, I would definitely do a little aromatics in its bomb.
Yep, there you go. Or a lemon. No, I'm just
lemon,
kidding.
Yeah, lemons
I
are
use
great.
Oranges, actually.
Oranges are great. Right. Lemons are great. Rosemary thyme. Well, not rosemary thyme. You know,
sage.
Yeah, love sage.
So,
and if you don't have fresh herbs, you know, dive into your spice drawer, you know, see what's in there. You know, a little dried, you know, savory herbs and some salt and pepper inside that cavity will go a long way. But really, you know, moderate the temperature. And when you take your turkey out, just take it out of the rack, or, you know, put the rack out of the roasting pan, set it on your stovetop or somewhere, tent it with foil, and let it rest for a good 20, 25 minutes. That turkey is going to continue to cook. Those bones are hot. It's going to continue to drive up the internal temperature. That's where your meat gets really dried out. You cook it till when that little button goes off, or you cook it to the temperature that, you know, you want, and then you let it rest, and it continues to go 5, 10, 15 degrees higher while it's resting. So,
and that's a great time, because then you know how the chaos starts and people start knowing, oh, the turkey's out of the oven, we're going to be eating soon, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. But that's the time to, like, ward off all those people that are rushing toward the kitchen and do your gravy, get your sides all prepared, and have people be enlisting people to help with. I used to be the water girl. I remember when I graduated as a little girl, I finally, like, graduated to wait, maybe doing the corn or something like that. But I was the water girl for years, ice water girl around the table while the turkey was resting. That was my job.
Well, and then there's the dog, trying to get the dog out of the kitchen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
We're going to take your phone calls in just a moment. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Our guest today, Chef Donna Desfour and Sherry Krause. They co-host Now That's a Mouthful podcast on WITF.
And,
not on WITF anymore.
We used to. So we had a beautiful, beautiful, happy start here at WITF. And now it's just the Now That's a Mouthful podcast. So we were fortunate. You and I, we co-hosted the first season, and now Sherry's co-hosting with me. It's
okay. So how can people, if they would like to tune into the podcast?
Great. So go to nowthatsamouthful.org.
Com.
That's right. Used to be Org. Wow. So this is really like, this is all happiness. So now that's a mouthful.com. There's great recipes on our recipe page. You can sign up to be a recipe tester on our recipe testing page. The podcast page has all of our podcasts from last year and this year. So we've got a great season going on right now.
All right. I'm sure you have some holiday recipes. We're going to be talking about some holiday recipes in just a few minutes here. If you would like to weigh in, maybe tell us about your Thanksgiving, a tradition that you have, whether it has to do with food or not. Give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Michael is in Lititz. Michael, you're on the air. You all right, Michael?
Good morning. You there, Scott?
Hi, Michael.
Michael.
Hi, ladies. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
before I give you my two-part question, who was the lady who was the water girl when she was growing up?
Oh, that was me, Sherry.
That was Sherry. She was the water girl, yeah.
Hey,
can
Sherry,
you relate?
I was the water boy.
And not Adam Sandler, right?
Until I spilled the pitcher of water across the dinner table.
Oh, my God.
When I was probably 6 or 7. I never saw my dad or aunt work so quick to clean that up until we ate.
Oh, that's so great.
I love you for your honesty, and thanks. The water people have to stay together.
So, Michael, I have a question for you. No, unrelated to your questions, but what age were you when you graduated from the kids' table?
I'm still there.
Let me say, I wasn't penalized because of that, that water.
Well, that's good.
Well, it was kind of a, how do you put it? It was kind of a gradual process. When I was, I think that year that I dumped it, I know I was at the kids' table, but next year, for some reason, a couple of the relatives didn't make it, so I was brought up from the minor leagues.
Uh-huh. So the majors.
Very
cool.
And then I think when I was 9 or 10, I was full-time.
Good. Good job.
Still not doing the water, though. I can't put on with somebody else. I was smart.
So what's your question, Michael?
Well, it's a couple of questions. And, you talk about the mess with the water. My wife told me a couple of days ago to take the 20-plus pound turkey out of the freezer and put it in the refrigerator.
So, Michael... Woman.
Did that, but Michael didn't do that until yesterday.
Am I
in trouble, ladies? Or if I am, is there any way to expedite the thawing process?
By the way,
my second question is, do you have any tips on frying a turkey?
Frying a turkey. Okay.
Go with the frozen part because we don't want the, by the way, does your wife know this?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because you're going to be back to the kids' table in a heartbeat.
So I don't know if I'm going to be in the table this year, so I got to make sure I get it right.
Okay. All right. So what about thawing?
So, thawing, it's a, what did you say, was a 22, 23-pound bird?
Yeah, I got it from Wegmans. I think it's just a little over 20 pounds.
Okay, so that's a big bird. They're frozen to the core. So, really, maybe Friday, it should have gone into the refrigerator. They take
Oh, geez, I'm in trouble.
No, you're not. So, what you need to do is really just go in and, and touch the bird.
I know. How's it feeling?
Yeah, you need to see, how dense, how cold, how frozen is it, and how far can you really sort of, press in with your fingers and your hands. When you get to, tomorrow, the next day, if it's still really solidly frozen, you want to put it in, a cold water bath. Clean out your sink, make sure it's really clean, stop up the sink, and then cold water. Put your turkey in. You can leave it in its wrappings.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to want to change that water every 20 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. And basically what it's going to do is it's going to slowly thaw your turkey. And that's an easy way to do it. It might take a couple hours, but you can, do it, start it, stop it, put it back in the refrigerator, go do whatever you need to do, come back, start it, stop it. You're going to want to give it a bath. You're going to want to keep the water cold, tap water, and every 20 minutes drain it, put new fresh cold tap water, even though it's defrosting, even though the water's going to seem colder, you just don't want to give any opportunity for any kind of bacteria or pathogens to, find their way in or around that
completely
turkey.
Is that why you change the water?
Yes, that's exactly
to
why.
To eliminate the possibility of
bacteria.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so frying a turkey.
I have never fried a turkey, but I have friends that have fried a turkey, and I've taken part in eating it.
Unbelievably.
Isn't it good?
Delicious. I'm telling you, absolutely delicious, moist. To me, I fear the fire. I fear the whole, my mind goes to grease fire. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. But if you do it safely outside, I've great, great success. As a matter of fact, one of my neighbors does it. And I was talking to him last night. It's so cute. And he's on our dog walking route. And last Thanksgiving, we were finishing up the evening on a dog walking route. And they were just finishing up and cleaning up after their frying of the turkey. And my dog sat in front of their house. He would have stayed there for an hour just waiting for something. The smell was just amazing. But I have had it. I've not done it. But it is just extraordinary. Moist and yummy.
Yeah, my brother-in-law and sister have deep fried the last few years and rave about it.
Yeah, it's truly delicious. So the couple tips before you immerse it into the deep fryer, make sure your turkey is bone dry.
Yes.
I mean, wipe off every speck of moisture you can find. Use paper towels. Use tea towels. The water is what's going to make it splatter and spit as you immerse it. And make sure before you immerse that turkey into the deep fryer, make sure that when that turkey goes in and it displaces the volume of oil, that oil doesn't spill over or, you know, bubble up and spill over the sides. I mean, and by all means, make sure you have a working fire extinguisher right by the side.
Absolutely.
But, you know, other than that.
Which way do you go in with a turkey? Do you go in bottom first or top first?
Top first, neck first. Go, yeah.
Neck first, okay.
Yes. I've seen it done. I've tasted it. I've never done it myself. But, what a great way to enjoy turkey.
Well, Michael, good luck with the wife.
Thank you, Michael.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Scott, for the Thanksgiving.
All right, thanks a lot. All right, let's go to Jackie in Liverpool. Jackie, you're on the air.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm calling with a question about just the turkey breast. I never cooked one before, and, you know, we go to a friend's house for Thanksgiving. She always cooks the turkey herself, but I'm having someone over on Sunday because they don't have a place to go for Thanksgiving, but I can't bring them to my friend's house.
So you're doing you're doing double. That's so great.
Yeah, so I want to make a turkey breast, but I never cooked one.
Okay.
Just the breast itself.
Uh-huh.
Yes, just the breast itself.
Oh, okay. The sky's the limit on that. Lots of good ideas.
So you can marinate it. And marinate, I would just use a combination of a little olive oil, some fresh herbs like parsley and thyme, maybe just a little bit of sage. They can be dried. I would either use a little bit of garlic powder in there. And, you know, and I'm not going to give you measurements, but I would just say, sprinkle.
Throw these things in like you're making a spaghetti sauce.
Exactly. You know, just sprinkle a little bit over and then, you know, just let it sit in your refrigerator covered, maybe for 4 or 5 hours. You could even do it the night before. And then I would just wrap it in foil, put it on a baking rack, and then sit it on a sheet pan. I would wrap the entire thing in foil paper. I would cook it at 350 for about 20 minutes maybe for every pound. So, you know, maybe no more than 30, 35 minutes. Maybe at the 30-minute mark, take that foil off. I would brush it with a little bit of apple cider, if you have it, not apple cider vinegar, but apple cider. And bump that heat up to like 375. And what will happen is the sugars in that apple cider will just glaze over, and it will create like a nice crunchy outer edge.
I have apple cider. My sister sends it from Massachusetts.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, I'm a Massachusetts girl. So.
Oh, I grew up outside of Boston. Wonderful.
I'm Agawam. I'm from Agawam, Massachusetts.
I'm from Holliston. That's wonderful.
You guys have like old home week here.
I know. We'll be over on
Sunday. Nobody where I live is from Massachusetts.
Beautiful. We love Massachusetts. My son's there and our daughter-in-law.
They legalized.
The church who is a Red Sox fan and a Patriot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they legalized marijuana, too.
Now they're having marijuana weddings up there.
Oh, boy. Now, did you get all that, Jackie?
Yes, I've been writing it down as she's speaking. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I think that's such a great help.
Thank you. Enjoy. And God bless you for what you're doing. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, Jackie.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear when people are reaching out to other people and inviting them to dinner and
special,
that kind of thing.
Really.
Wendy asks, I've been wet brining and spatchcocking my turkey the past several years.
Way to go, Wendy.
I like the flavor and ease of cooking, not prep, but not consistency of the meat. I am still planning on spatchcocking, but what do you think about dry brining? Any tips?
Hmm. I love dry brining, personally. And spatchcocking, oh, up your alley as well. But that's a big undertaking with that bird. But once it's done, oh,
well, how do you dry brine yours?
I do a rub.
Just like salt, pepper, mm-hmm, seasonings,
and
aromatics?
Yes, like, yeah, thyme, sage, just all over, and love
that.
Do
you stick it under the skin?
Sometimes, or, yeah, sometimes.
Or just right on top?
Mostly on top.
So the whole idea, the whole essence, and what Sherry's saying is spot on. You really want like a nice combination of salt and seasonings, but aromatics. Mm-hmm. The whole idea behind dry brining is that you put this on your turkey and you'll stick it in the refrigerator probably for like overnight, at least mm-hmm. like a good, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours. But what it does is that those seasonings draw the moisture out, bring it to the surface, absorb the aromatics, absorb the seasonings, and then, you know, go back into the fleshy part of the meat. So when you grill it or whatever, you've already got that flavorful moisture captured. It doesn't take up as much space as, you know, a big vat of brine. And it's very successful with chicken. The whole spatchcocking thing is really brilliant. Basically, what you're doing is butterflying your turkey. And to do that, you just cut out that backbone, flatten it down. Sometimes you have to break the breastbone to make it lay flat. But once you're done with that, now you're not cooking this whole big bird, you know, with this massive cavity inside. All of the bones are laid out evenly on either your grill or, you know, your sheet pan when you put it in the oven. You could probably cut your roasting time down, I would say,
exponentially.
Easily. Yeah,
yeah.
Half.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here's the big question.
Yes. What are you cooking for dinner?
No, that's not.
He's going to go to social media, I think. Uh-oh.
I may go to Macy's this year. I don't know. But anyway, when you talk social media, mm-hmm. there has been something that has been going viral over the last week or so.
Now that's a mouthful.com.
That too.
Okay, second behind that.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Was people sending emails or messages to their mothers in particular, asking about how to microwave a turkey. How to microwave
a turkey.
I'm so
glad I missed that.
I know. I did see it. And I do think it's hysterical. At first, I was like, oh, my goodness. And the one mother I thought was just absolutely spot on. You're not my child. I can't believe you're asking this question. What have I ever taught you? Like, oh, my. But Scott might have a little thing from Butterball, I heard.
I saw just this morning on Facebook that Butterball has responded, because this has gone viral,
and most of
the responses have just what Sherry said. They're like, no, you can't do that. Are you messing with me? You're not going to be my kid. But that Butterball says you actually can do it, and they list the ways to do it. Now, my first thought...
Well, I suppose you could microwave anything.
Yeah.
Right?
A shoe.
but the thing... Yeah, that's right.
Good Lord.
That was my first thought, is turkey is dry to begin with. You put it in a microwave, it makes it even drier. But Butterball listed ways that it wouldn't be dry. I'm not recommending this. I'm just telling you that this is something that started as a joke that Butterball has actually come out and said, well, you know, you can do it.
So if we're going to be serious about this for a second.
I don't know if we're being serious about it, but go ahead.
But I would presume you're not putting an entire turkey,
it has to be a small turkey.
It would have to be either like a breast or meat or something. But the key, so microwaves are vastly different today than when our moms, you know, first brought them home and mm-hmm. were like, this is the greatest thing in the world.
Your mom brought a microwave?
Oh,
actually,
my gosh.
It was my dad. He won it in a sales contest at work. No kidding. We got it. We put it, you know, we set it up and we put ice cubes in it and we watched
it. Honestly, my mother even took a cooking class on how to use her new microwave,
right.
But it was like the end all be all.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this. It was like getting a color television for
right.
heaven's sake.
You're right.
But the way microwaves work, I don't really know how they work. The way to keep moisture in is, employ damp paper towels. So if you're going to cook a turkey breast in your microwave oven, and trust me, I am not endorsing this method at all.
And that's our disclaimer. No, this is our, that's this, right. Just say no to the microwave with turkey.
But if you take very damp paper towels and you mound them up on top of it, what happens is the microwaves will actually cook the turkey. It will start pulling the steam and the moisture out of the paper towels.
Instead
so you've
meat.
Got a better shot at keeping that meat moist.
I didn't read the whole thing and commit it to memory, but I did read a couple of things in it. It said that, a certain amount of time, and it's mentioned about covering the burn, that you're at full power for a certain amount of time, and then you're, doing something with juices, and then you go to like half power and all that. So
anyone that does this year, come back next year when we're back on, and we want to hear a full report.
Oh, my.
All right. We had a couple other questions here. Age-old problem, no room in the oven. Mm. What are your thoughts on saving the oven for sides and cooking the turkey in a roaster the day before?
That can be done.
Why
you
not?
You can do it the day before, absolutely.
I know you're asking me why not.
That.
I don't know. I'm asking you the question.
And it's easy to warm. And I'm sure you have great tips on doing that. But I have friends that just have a single oven and not double, and that's how they have to do things.
Right. And, always take advantage of things like slow cookers. You can put your sides in a slow cooker. You can make your sides the day before, make your turkey the day before, however you want to do it. But your slow cooker is a fantastic way to reheat everything. It keeps things moist. It keeps that, the liquid, and you can use a little gravy over
right.
it.
Right. The gravy, that's how you'll be warm.
Well,
so good.
But the problem that the listener brings up, the challenge, is a good one, though. There always is that challenge of
not
moving the oven.
Right. So, exactly. Again, but keep in mind what we said earlier, and I think this is where a lot of people miss the mark. That turkey comes out of the oven, and as Sherry said, there's this big rush to get it. You've got easily 20 minutes to half hour to 45 minutes, that turkey will still stay warm. That turkey will continue to just rest. And really, the longer you let it rest, the more pleased you're going to be with your results.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's before carve time.
Right.
So think about then carve time. So you've got that time to do your sides.
Right. You can put your sides in the oven. If you have a toaster oven, you can always put, smaller dishes in there. Microwave.
I was just going to say microwave.
Right. No. Microwave is great for things like corn or beans or other things like that. It just is a matter of thinking it through, planning, and then really this year, if you've never done it, give yourself the gift of time. Let that bird come out, let it rest, give it a half hour. It will make all the difference in the world, and it will keep you from having that frenzy, oh my God, right. I got to get this all done. And if you get to a half hour and, say you still haven't put your biscuits or your bread into warm, you still got another 15 minutes and you're still okay.
You know what I was thinking about? It's funny how your mind goes different places because...
Maybe yours.
There will be. All right, well, you... Wait a minute. Clean it up, girl.
I've known you for a really long time.
I'm the new one right here.
Anyway, as I'm picturing dinner on Thursday and there will be... probably eight different dishes different food items on the table. Succotash. It's the only time all year I get succotash.
I'm making a face. I'm not a succotash person. I'm really sorry. I'm not a green bean person either. I like tiny little lima beans, tender, tiny little lima beans, not like the tasty, big, lima
she
beans.
Paints such a lovely picture. Everybody
sorry,
that has succotash on their
go
menu
for the
now.
Succotash if that's your thing.
And the thing is, it's a shame this is radio because if you could see the faces she made.
Thank God it's radio.
I know. Yeah. I did learn about, you made the same face when I mentioned sauerkraut earlier today.
And really? I love sauerkraut.
Scott and I are on board about the sauerkraut.
Really?
I despise sauerkraut.
Not a sauerkraut fan.
It's the consistency.
I think it is. It's the smell.
The smell and the consistency. But she made the same face when I said succotash. There's no comparison.
And those traditions of a bright and shiny, healthy new year, I'll eat coleslaw. Thank you. There you go.
I love coleslaw.
It's a cabbage.
It's a cabbage.
I love coleslaw. But put it this way, coleslaw is one of the things, and you know, one of the things I like about this program is we always get off on tangents talking about all these
right,
things.
We could do it's this
just
all
like,
day
it's
long.
It's just like a conversation, which I try to do every day. But anyway, one thing about coleslaw is it's not consistent. You can go from restaurant to restaurant where it's made differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there should be a law about that, right?
I think you're
there
right.
There should be like
I think you're right. Coleslaw law.
Vinegar-based. But like just that tiny
right. We are in the state capitol. I think it'd become a law if there's a legislator out there.
Hey, Gov.
Introduce a Pennsylvania. That's right, the governor.
Gov, that you want to cut in on more of my time.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. At the Science of Cooking, Thanksgiving at 9. That replaces Smart Talk on Thanksgiving morning. But we're beating them to it. Well, okay, I was thinking it. You said it. But, yeah, we're here 2 days ahead of time to help out or at least add to your Thanksgiving.
Pet your appetite.
1-800-729-7532 is the number to call if you have a suggestion, a question. Or you could send an email to WITF. Where am I here? You can send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Our guest today, now that's a mouthful, podcast co-host Chef Donna Desvoir and Sherry Krause. 1-800-729-7532. We'll take some more phone calls in just a moment. But one of the things that we did want to talk about today, and Stephanie, our listener, asked, any good ideas for a gluten and dairy-free side that will blow everybody away, mostly because it's made by the poor post-college student.
Oh, I love those college students. I happen to have one. But anyway, it's so important that you just don't want to be caught off guard with guests who have food allergies or sensitivities or any special dietary needs. So we have people that are vegetarians. We have people that are vegan. We have gluten-free, as she is saying. Gluten-free diet, I mean, it strictly excludes the gluten, and gluten is just a mixture of proteins, and it's found in wheat and related grains and things like that, like barley, rye, and oats. And it can really, I mean, one out of 133 Americans truly does have celiac disease, which is a part of the whole gluten-free issue and what's going on in our country today. I have one example of a great healthy recipe. It's a healthy sweet potato casserole, and it uses apple juice concentrate in it, maple syrup, cinnamon, nutmeg, and vanilla.
Boy, that sounds
super
good.
Easy, super delicious.
I may
delicious.
Just throw that together and,
right.
You know.
Right.
Then I think the point really is gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, any kind of food allergies, so much of our food, vegetables, meats, they're all in their natural state, gluten-free, dairy-free, mm-hmm. nut-free. So, take a step back and say, okay, what am I cooking? And then really evaluate the things that you're adding. You can always add natural products like the, concentrated apple cider. Take a cup of apple cider and just simmer it down till it's about a quarter cup and you've got this beautiful glaze. You can do the same thing with any kind of fruit juice, but add it to sweet potatoes, add it to any of your vegetables. You can get gluten-free panko breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. And if you want some, a crispy outer coating, add that, stick it under the broiler, and presto, you've got, a really nice texture to a gluten-free dish. And, you're home free.
Hard cider?
Pardon me?
Oh, I love hard cider. Yes,
hard
I do.
Hard cider. Yeah, you can do that. I don't know if it's gluten-free.
Yeah. There's another really great recipe, back to the non-alcoholic things, but it's gluten-free.
She's
which we can talk
in.
About
hey,
later.
She is a post-college student,
But there's a gluten-free apple cranberry crisp, which is really amazing and delicious, a pretty presentation at the end of a meal. It uses the gluten-free oats, fresh cranberries and fresh apples, and a gluten-free all-purpose flour. Super easy to put together. If you have to purchase those gluten-free products, and I know they can be very, very expensive, you can store them and safely, as you do, you've told me about freezing those flour and things
absolutely.
Like that. So you'll have it for the another time to use. But
we do have a lot of great gluten-free recipes on our website, nowthatsamouthful.com. Our recipes page is broken down into a bunch of different categories, and you'll see a gluten-free page. So, click on there. You can find a lot of great recipes there. But do keep in mind that gluten-free, grain-free, a lot of those things, they're not hard to come by. You just really have to sort of commit to, okay, I'm going to step out of, you know, what I know and am comfortable cooking with, like butter or milk or bread, and find the suitable alternative. Mm-hmm. And they're there. And in our world today, when we started this, 8-10 years ago, when we were 21, the questions about gluten-free, I mean, they were really challenging. But today, you know, our grocery stores, our markets, they're filled with those kind of products that make it so much easier. So a little bit of investment, yes, but throw them in the freezer. They'll last, you know, as long as you need them.
Let's take some calls. Roger is in Harrisburg. Roger, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Roger.
I had a comment on a safety tip on frying a turkey.
Great. Awesome.
I was listening. One way to make this easy so that the oil doesn't boil over and cause the fire and the damage that could happen is to put the turkey in an empty pot and fill the pot up with water.
Yes.
And then take that turkey out and have
Absolutely.
A line there.
You
for
have
the water.
Your displacement ratio already right there. Perfect. That's great tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
great. It's a nice, easy safety tip that I've used. It works really well.
Do you fry your turkey?
I have in the past. This year, I'm going to be smoking a turkey.
Oh, delicious. My dad used to do
I
that.
I love that.
Oh, my goodness. So
yeah.
Did you like your fried turkey? Did you have great success with it? Or is it just a lot of cleanup that sometimes people don't care for?
I tend to put cardboard down underneath the fryer.
That's smart.
And any oil that may splatter out just has that to land on. And mm-hmm. then it's a little easier at that point. There's not as much oil to clean up afterwards.
That's wonderful. And a smoked turkey, enjoy that. They're always so super yummy.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Roger, thanks for the tip.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Let's go to Kyle in Hanover. Kyle, you're on the air.
Hi, Scott. Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, you're
Hi,
welcome.
Kyle.
Hi. So, actually, I had a suggestion rather than a question. I'm from North Carolina originally.
My mom's in
North
Carolina.
The U.S. capital of sweet potatoes.
Yes. There you go.
But I have a suggestion with sweet potatoes is make your sweet potatoes like you normally would, however you would, but use half normal sweet potatoes and half purple sweet potatoes.
Oh.
And the purple sweet potatoes give it such a really good kind of red wine flavor, but the traditional sweet potatoes balance that dryness
I
out.
I bet that's beautiful presentation, too.
Oh, yeah. It looks wonderful.
Oh, so, that's really cool. I mean, in an ever-changing world of taste, we're always looking for ways to, you know, balance some sweetness with something that, you know, that really gives it some body and some earthiness. So what a beautiful way to do that. That's a great idea.
Thank you. That's awesome, Roger. Kyle.
Yes, Kyle,
Kyle, I have another one that is a really good one. If you have anyone in your family vegetarian or having anybody coming to your house as a vegetarian for a sweet potato gnocchi with balsamic sage brown butter, that's a fabulous side and really nice because, you know, for vegetarians, it doesn't always have to be about meat and potatoes, but this is like a potato meal that could possibly take
Gives
over.
Gives you substance.
Thing.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, thank you very much for
Happy
your call.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving,
Kyle.
Rachel asks, I have a relatively small turkey, about 14 pounds, that has thawed completely in the refrigerator. It's been thawed for about 4 to 5 days, and I want to make sure it will be okay to cook on Thanksgiving morning.
Is it still in its wrapping?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
She sounds like that's probably safe. 4 to 5 days, 14 pounds. That sounds reasonable.
Yeah, if it's in its original wrapping, and as long as you've kept it in your refrigerator, and your refrigerator is relatively like on the colder side, which if you have a lot of stuff in there right now for Thanksgiving, you should be fine. Just make sure you cook it long enough and hit your mark.
When you say you should be fine.
I think she'll be fine. I think she can confidently be fine. What do
I
you think,
think? Yeah, she can be confidently be fine. How's that?
Okay.
4 to 5 days for 14 pounds. I think that's reasonable.
So if
in the refrigerator defrosting.
Right. Yeah. So when you buy meat in the grocery store, what do they say? Cook it within 4 or 5 days, right?
That's right.
Okay. So now,
well, see,
now,
that's what I was thinking about the meat.
So,
it's not
prod,
really a
right.
freezer. It's, you know.
So, okay. So, standard rule, if, you unwrap it and it just smells really off, and you'll know right away.
Turkey
just
smells like crap if it's
anything that's bad. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So you'll know you'll be fine.
Okay. All right. You always, when you come to WITF, you bring some goodies along with you today.
That's why you invite us back.
The only reason. I really
I'm
don't like
seeing a pattern
you
as the new person here.
Yeah,
I'm
I really don't
pattern.
Like you guys at all. It's the food.
Right.
But anyway, there are two things you brought today that I requested that you pass these recipes along, because
sure.
bourbon balls and the pumpkin chiffon
slab pie with an amaretti crust.
All right, well, let's start with that, because I have to tell you, I love pumpkin pie, especially around the holidays.
Sure.
Why don't we eat pumpkin pie in February, by the way? I mean, or May.
Cherry pie. That's
I know. That's right.
But, I digress. Cherry pie,
I digress. It is a fall pie.
Yeah.
Although chocolate's still my favorite.
I'm with you there. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you didn't know that.
No, I said we could do that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Chocolate cherry.
Know that.
So this slab pie, slab pies are sort of trending right now, and it's really just making a pie in a sheet pan rather than a pie pan. But this particular pie is a lot of fun. It uses an amaretti cookie, which is that Italian liqueur amaretto, but it's made into a cookie. So basically, you just pulverize those cookies into crumbs and make that crust with some butter, and then you basically make the pumpkin pie filling. So you use pumpkin, the pumpkin puree, you use brown sugar, you add eggs, the pumpkin pie spice, a little bit of vanilla extract. And then what you do is you whip egg whites, stabilize them with some cream of tartar, and then you fold that into the pumpkin pie filling. So essentially what you're doing is you're basically making a custard pumpkin custard, and then you're folding in egg whites to just give it a lightness and a little lift and some volume. So it does make the pumpkin pie a lot lighter. It makes it really sort of stretches those pumpkin pie spice seasonings in a really soft, gentle way. And then that amaretti cookie crust, it gives it a really sharp crust and a crunchy crust, but with that really fun amaretto kind of hit to it.
Well, I have to say it's delicious.
Thank you.
I mean, I love pumpkin pie. I like that better.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
It's lighter.
High five on that
Sterling
one.
It's lighter.
It's lighter. Yeah, it's one of the test recipes that our recipe testers have been cooking. So we'll get it to you.
Okay, and we'll put it on the website.
And you'll put it on your website.
All right, so the bourbon balls, Cher, you told me that these bourbon balls have some kick.
Yeah, they do have some kick, absolutely. It comes from one of the cookbooks that we're reviewing. It's called Red Truck Bakery, and it's a cookbook. And it's a little bakery, actually, in the rural hills of Virginia. And they put together all of their recipes into this sweet little cookbook. And this is delicious. But, you know, the South classic, you know, they love the bourbon. They love their putting anything in bourbon. And these little balls are really easy to make. And I think on our Instagram account, it was really cute. Yeah. I posted it, and I said, roll one, eat one, have a sip of bourbon. Roll one, eat one,
but you can't cook these.
Right.
So the bourbon is, like, really predominant.
So what are the recipes?
It's 2 cups of pecan halves, and then you use 3 cups of coarsely crumbled either birdseed cookies, and you can find a recipe for that anywhere, and they have it in the book as well, or a sugar cookie. You use sugar, heavy cream, dark corn syrup, and then sorghum syrup, which is something that's really predominant in the South.
But you can find that here in grocery stores.
Right, absolutely. Vanilla extract, semi-sweet chocolate chips, and a good bourbon. Mm. So this was so funny. You're asking why I'm so behind on my Thanksgiving is because
bourbon.
My husband, bourbon, and my husband hosted last night 20-some men for his fantasy football league. So I was busy making all this other stuff. And the bourbon balls that I brought to you today were hidden in our outside refrigerator in the very, very back. My husband comes up from the lower level and he says, Cher, the food is flying. Do you have anything else? Where are those bourbon balls? I said, you may not take the bourbon balls. So they were for you guys. So anyway.
Fantasy football and bourbon balls.
Uh-oh, that was a bad combo. So I did not allow that to happen.
What kind of bourbon?
Oh, Jim Beam.
Okay.
That's what we do. It was fine. It was absolutely fine.
Well, I just had to make sure it wasn't like some cheap stuff.
Nope, it wasn't. And I didn't go for the really high shelf.
It did its trick, I think.
Yeah. Well, this was a lot of fun. And hopefully we could contribute to a happy Thanksgiving for everyone out there listening today. Maybe give them a few ideas, but we will put those recipes
yes,
you just mentioned
absolutely.
On our website, WITF.org, under Smart Talk. We'll have it a little bit later, give you time to get home and get those recipes to us so that we could put it on the website.
Yeah, look for them later tonight.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank
a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, Scott. Happy Thanksgiving. And
always
happy Thanksgiving to all the listeners out there. And don't make it a stress day. It's about being with people you love. It's about having a great time. And don't forget the bourbon.
Sherry, you're like a Hallmark card.
She is.
Although the bourbon part at the end, I don't know whether Hallmark would go with that or not. But all right. Thank you very much. Coming up, Scott, on tomorrow's show, and it is Thanksgiving related. This week is the most, there will be more cars on the road this week, this weekend in particular, than any other during the year. And we've done this for the last few years as well. We will have a state trooper on the program tomorrow, along with someone from PennDOT, answering your driving questions, mostly about the Pennsylvania traffic laws. But that is coming up on tomorrow's program. Did you know that tomorrow night, Wednesday night, is the most partying night, even of not even New Year's Eve compares, because you have so many people home from college and all that. That's coming up on tomorrow's show.